The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com. Well, what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The day that deicide takes place, that actually, because of God's love for us, this symbol or sign, which was so ignominious that we didn't even use it as a symbol for hundreds of years. The cross was just, what a sign that was. It was total ignominy. Was to be crucified, and they did not want to stone him. They wanted him to die, according to the, and the Romans had come up with a way of killing people that was so torturous and so hideous, to nail them to a cross. And we in fact lost such contact with that after hundreds of years, that, you know, to drive nails into a person's hands. It was only recently in really right modern history that we came to realize that you don't drive a nail through the hand that we thought it was, you know, the kind of nail, that huge spike that would go through a person's palm. It actually, there is a place where there's a bone structure. If you drive it through the palm, the crucified would fall off the cross. And they did some experimentation where they actually found there is a bone in the upper part of the top part of the hand, which is almost the wrist, that you drive a nail there, and a crucifier would know where to put that nail. And they actually, through experimentation, found the place where Jesus was crucified in his hands. And then he didn't plead to death. So many assume, but that he was unable to push up on his feet. And when he couldn't push up on his feet, a crucified man hanging on a cross was unable to breathe out. He could inhale, but if he didn't push up on his feet, he couldn't exhale. And when Jesus, because he had been scourged as well as crucified, had lost an ability to push up on his feet, he was as strong as the other two who kept pushing up on their feet and were delayed in their deaths. He died first. But he had been scourged. We didn't even know what the Roman scourge was. It was lead pellets interspersed with sheep bone that dug into his back and tore off half the flesh from his back. And then he had to carry, and he didn't carry the whole cross that you see when people make the Stations of the Cross. That large pole and a crossbeam, what he actually carried was the crossbeam that weighed almost 200 pounds, so that he would be nailed to that crossbeam, and then it would be lifted into a place where there were standards, poles, somewhat like telephone poles, and there would be there. Sometimes when the Romans would crucify, they'd crucify 50 and 100 at a time. So they had these poles all set, and these poles were set. Three of them that day were on Calvary, and Jesus carried the crossbeam, and he needed help to do it, because he couldn't really carry it from the Praetorium all the way up to Calvary's Hill, where he was then nailed to the crossbeam, and then had his, it was lifted by the crucifiers into place on the pole that was there and set up, and then his feet nailed to it. Above every crucified man was the reason why he was crucified. They nailed the sign for him, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Hodiorum, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, because he was at two trials. And what that's so, the church today encourages us, read these scriptures today. The four gospels give an account of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. How important it for us to read and ponder these scriptures. That Jesus, on Matthew and Mark and Luke, are read on Palm Sunday at alternate dates, and the A, B, and C years. But every Good Friday, that the depth of the crucifixion according to John is read. That's what we have today. That on this day, we have the suffering and death of Jesus Christ in the 18th and 19th chapter of John. Why John? He was an eyewitness. The account of Matthew was he had ran away. He didn't really see the events, but he studied them and talked about them and wanted to write a gospel for the Hebrews to think of and to pray and ponder. Mark's gospel is written by Mark the apostle, but it's an account by Peter. It's the written account of the oral tradition of the account of Jesus' suffering and death according to Peter. And Peter wasn't there really the whole time. In fact, he was bitterly aware of how he was just so afraid to follow Jesus too closely. So he followed him from afar. And Luke was not even a Jew and wasn't there, and he gave his account. All are great revelations of the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross, and they're all Holy Scripture. But John was the eyewitness account. He was there with the mother of Jesus, and he saw the events up close. And the accounts are so powerful. For a long time, we didn't realize just how deep a reflection. And so the church offers these to us, these accounts of the suffering and death of Jesus today on Good Friday. And how powerful it is as the church gives us a reading from Isaiah, gives us a reading from Hebrews today, and gives us this account of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and how, especially the manipulation and the lies, which when we make the Stations of the Cross and when we reflect on this, the suffering and death of our Savior, and when we realize this is what we are introduced to by our initiation into baptism. And when we have been introduced into the life that is divine, the glorification and the union that we have, I will introduce you and give you this power to live my life. And you, by your baptism, are going to be introduced to this. Then what are you being introduced to? My life. Whose life? Jesus' life. I will introduce you by baptism, by confirmation, and by your eating and drinking my blood in the Eucharist, the life of Jesus. That is what? You are going to be introduced in the power to love like I love. The power not to suffer, but to love with the power and the capacity that I have. I will give you the power to lay down your life out of love for others. You now can live with that same life of grace that I have. You can begin to see. You can begin to hear. You can begin to offer. What marvelous day this is, Good Friday, that because you laid down your life on the cross, Jesus, and suffered and died. You actually died on the cross. Today, as we accompany you through this day, what we are looking at is a pattern of our own lives. Why do we glorify and honor the cross today? When we read of your suffering and your dying on the cross, we are reading and considering and pondering and praying, because right after we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church introduces us to prayer. And the first one we pray for is the church. What does that mean? We pray for ourselves. We pray that we, who have been introduced into the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we, the whole body of the church on earth, the whole body of the church that is joined to you, as you are now ascended into heaven and at the right hand of the Father, that we here on earth may reflect your life, your love, and that how much we really need to pray for ourselves. And then we pray for the Pope, and then we pray for all kinds of people, right up until we pray for people who are very, very much in great needs. We have pray for 10 different intentions. Then we take today on Good Friday, we take that sign of the cross, which is now a glorious sign, the sign of love. When we see Jesus' hands pierced, do you know, I think it's very important that I say this today, because we have lost really what the significance of it is. Because of Christian modesty, we have a loincloth on Jesus. But they really wanted to insult him and make him a ridiculous-looking king. He was naked on the cross. That was like when you strip a man or a woman of clothes. That's where he was. You know, were you ever stripped in your life? Just before everyone else, shamed and ridiculed. That's what he was before they hung him on the cross. And they hung him up there. And he was there for 3 hours. And the words, you know, his seven last words, and the agony that he went through. That's the cross that we take now, each one of us, to the extent that you can ponder it, to the extent that you can really understand it. All of us can grow in our awareness that it is love. I remember one time I got the bloodiest cross I could find. South Americans, when I went there, they have blood all over Jesus, lacerated and broken and bloody and flowing all over with blood. I got the bloodiest one I could find, and I put it up on my ceiling, right above my bed, and I had a caption under it. John, this is how much I love you. The cross. This is such a tremendous, we all of us Christians love the cross. and especially the symbol of the crucifix. It is such a meaningful instrument and sign to me, the cross, the crucifix. It's a symbol of divine love. The wounds in his hands, the wounds, he never left go of them, even in his resurrection. He was so proud, they were glorious wounds. He could have had them all gone over. They could have gone and disappeared. But especially he has been so wanting for us to be aware of the wound in his heart, that open heart that he invites us into. My heart, my sacred heart, I want you to come into, and me into your heart. That symbol of love, the cross. As we honor the cross, I know my mother, for instance, had such a love for the wounds in his feet. My mother used to just want to, I don't know, she just got the idea that she would love to wash our feet. She did that. I guess when we were all babies, her children, she used to love to wash. And especially boys have real stinky feet. Well, she would just love to wash our feet. I'm sure that that love that she had gained from her children, when we used to go to Good Friday, my mother would kiss those wounds in his feet. And there are some people who have such tremendous devotion to the wounds in his hands. And there are those who have such devotion to the wound in his sacred heart, the adoration of the cross. Behold the cross of Jesus Christ. Come, let us adore. And finally, today, Good Friday, when we get together as a family, we have Holy Communion. It's called the Communion or the consecration of the hosts of the pre-sanctified, the hosts that were consecrated at the Mass on Holy Thursday. There's no precious blood today, but these hosts are kept. And today, all over the Catholic world, the Pope, the bishops, the priests, the people of God will gather around an altar, and they will hear the word of God, and especially the proclamation of the gospel according to John. They will pray and offer prayers of petition and begging our Lord for all these intentions that will pour out before the throne of God, like incense arising before the Trinity. And they will adore and worship and honor the Holy Cross of Jesus Christ. And then they will come together in union as one body, united with the body of Jesus Christ on earth, the Eucharist. This marvelous and wonderful day is called Good Friday. We take this time in which mankind has taken and killed our Lord. We murdered him. Deceit and plot and manipulation, all kind of lies, mob psychology, swinging the mob against him, underhandedness, and do you know the worst thing in the world? On that Good Friday, this worst thing about Good Friday, it's still going on. The lies, the manipulation, the murder, and the violence against Jesus. He is so hated in his body here on earth. So goodness is still hated. And there are those enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Who are they? They aren't ISIS. No. ISIS are just people. They're deceived. They aren't Muslims. No, they aren't communists. Who are they? They're sin. That's what's the enemy. What did I come into the world for? To conquer sin. I am the truth. I am love itself. I came to conquer hatred. And I know your name, Satan. I came because I'm the truth. And I will conquer evil. And I came because I'm life. And I will conquer death. My name is Jesus. And I have come to die for all mankind. And that's why today is good. It's good.
Final thought, Monsignor.
Let's go again to the responsorial psalm, Psalm 30. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, set me free. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is you who will redeem me, Lord. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. God bless.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this program, or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.